Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining the Mary Loves Justice prayer meeting this July 26th, 2015. The topic tonight is fight for what God gave you. Fight for what God gave you. Now, it may seem that you shouldn't have to fight for something someone gave you, but that is exactly the way it is. And we want to let you know how much we appreciate joining us tonight. Ordinarily, I play a song called Somebody's Bigger Than You and I. I love that song because it's encouraging when you do have to fight. It's encouraging when you do have to show courage and faith. If you recognize that there's somebody bigger than you, and yes, even bigger than your opponents, than your opposition, than your oppressors. So ordinarily I play that, but tonight we're talking about fighting. Stand up and fight for what God gave you. Now, we are to fight like the children of Hebrew slaves for what God has given us. The call-in number for this show is 818-572-2947. Cowardice among Christians is a major problem in these last days. Cowardice. Sometimes Christians are made to feel comfortable being cowards because they believe the Bible told them to always be non-confrontational. We should say, study the Bible to show ourselves approved. That's what we should do. Study the Bible to show yourself approved. And rightly divide the word of truth. Do not rely on others to tell you what the Bible says. We must read the Bible for ourselves and discover the truth. When we know the truth will set us free. The truth will set us free. For 2 weeks, we discussed the fact that unconditional forgiveness is not biblical. God does not automatically forgive anyone, and neither should we. God requires repentance, restitution if it's due, and he requires that a person humbles himself enough to ask for forgiveness. So it's a three-step process. A person has to actually feel convicted within their own spirits, recognize that they were wrong, and determine within their own hearts that what they did was wrong, and they refuse to ever do it again. That is called repentance. And then, if you call someone harm, you should make restitution. If it's due, you should pay restitution, reparations. And then thirdly, you should humble yourself and ask for forgiveness. And I don't mean ask God for forgiveness. If the person is living and you have the ability to contact the person, you should ask that person for forgiveness and then ask God for forgiveness. Don't skip asking your brother or sister for forgiveness. Now, today we begin a different discussion on inalienable rights. Inalienable rights are those that we were born with simply because we are human beings. Now, I know that there are any number of people who would like for you to think that human beings are just mammals, animals, who have more developed brains. And you know, when people tell me that, I don't argue with them, because maybe that's all they are. Maybe you are talking to a big old fuzzy mammal. If that suits them, it suits me. I'm not an evangelist. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What the Bible says. And the Bible says that God made people a little lower than angels, and that he formed the first man out of the clay. And he did something different with that man that he had not done with any of his other beast animals that he had created. He breathed, God breathed into the man's nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. So we're not like other mammals. We have the breath of God. And one day, God is going to remove his breath from each human body, except some people, of course, will never see death. But if Jesus delays his coming, if the rapture is not soon, like it looks like it is, then all of us will die. And the breath of God will be withdrawn from our bodies. We have certain inalienable rights. Those are God-given rights. It came along with being born a human being. And they were codified in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And they apply to every man, every woman, boy, and girl on in every country on planet Earth. We all have inalienable human rights. However, we have no guarantee that we will actually have those human rights respected and protected by governments simply because God gave them to us and the UN codified them. That is not any assurance that they will automatically be respected and protected by governments. In fact, throughout world history, governments have been actively involved in separating people from their God-given rights. Sometimes people must fight for the blessings that God already gave them. Now, the children of Hebrew slaves arrived in their promised land, but they had to fight for every square mile. God gave these Hebrew children the land, true enough, but he also gave them a job to do. Because we have inalienable rights doesn't mean we won't have to fight to actually enjoy them. God loves justice, and he wants us to have justice, but we must be willing to fight for it. Withholding forgiveness and fighting for your rights are biblical. You know, the thing is that if you don't read the Bible for yourself, you wouldn't know that withholding forgiveness is within your rights. You don't have to forgive anyone who has not repented, paid recompense if it's due, and if they cannot afford to pay it, that's a different matter. Understand that. I want you to know that Jesus Christ gave an example when a man could not pay what was due. He went to the man and he said, oh Lord, you know, they used to call each other Lord, I guess landlords and what have you. But he explained to this guy who was in a higher status than he was that he wouldn't be able to pay him altogether at once. And he wanted to make arrangements, credit terms, if you will. But the guy he was talking to, he may have been a king, he said, oh, no, let's not make credit arrangements. You don't have the money. You came to me like a man. You admitted you don't have the money. You still want to pay me because you are willing to make credit terms. So I'm going to do this for you. Let's just forget about that debt. You can have that money. So when I say make recompense or pay a debt if you owe it, then that does not apply to someone who does not have the means with which to pay you. So it is enough for such people to ask for forgiveness, humble themselves and ask for forgiveness. And you can see if they repented. If they repented and they've asked for forgiveness, that's it. But understand that it's right for you to fight for your rights also. It's also right for you to fight for your rights. And we have the Hebrew children as an example of people having to fight for what God had already given them. And there was a reason for that. You know, sometimes we don't always understand God's reasons, but he did state the reason for these people still occupying the land that God had given them. He explained why that was allowed to happen. And he said, I will not drive the Hivites and Canaanites and Hittites away from you. I will not drive them out ahead of your arrival within a single year. Otherwise, the land will become desolate and wild animals will multiply against you. And that is Exodus chapter 23, verses, part of it is verse 28, and the next verse is 29. Everything that God does is for a purpose. And the reason he didn't drive the people out before the Hebrew children coming in is because he wanted them to come in, and hey, the crops were already planted. Everything was nice. He said if he had driven them out ahead of time, the wild animals would multiply against his Hebrew children. The land would have gone to ruin if he had driven those people out of the Hebrew children's land ahead, too much ahead of their arrival. But he said, I will drive them out little by little ahead of you until you have become numerous and take possession of the land. They still have to take possession of the land. And he told them that I will set your borders from the Red Sea to the Mediterranean Sea and from the wilderness to the Euphrates River. For I will place the inhabitants of the land under your control, and you will drive them out ahead of you. So now, a couple of verses ago, we heard him say that he'll drive them out. But right here in verse 31, it says, you'll drive them out ahead of you. So now, who is doing it? Well, God works through people. God works through you. God works through me. God even can work through your enemies. But he said earlier in verse 30, I will drive them out little by little ahead of you until you have become numerous and take possession of the land. But in verse 31, it says, I will place the inhabitants of the land under your control, and you will drive them out ahead of you. So who's doing it? Well, you both are. A relationship with God is a cooperation. As you go in faith and be bold and stand up, then he will enter the battle and work with you. And your victory is his victory, and his victory is your victory. So it appears that what he was really saying in verse, when he said, I will drive them out little by little ahead of you until you have become numerous and take possession of the land. It sounds like what he really meant there is that I will work through you to drive them out. You see, he goes on to tell them not to make a covenant with these people and their gods. Don't make a covenant with them or their gods. You know, many people try to make agreements with Satan, make agreements with demonic people, make agreements with people who are very untrustworthy because they are like their father, Satan, who is a liar. The Bible says that you are a liar like your father, Satan, is a liar. So don't even try to make covenants with people who are not trustworthy. And people who are under Satan's influence are not trustworthy. Don't make a covenant with them or their gods. A great many people's gods are dollar bills. They call them dead presidents. That's their gods. And many people are selling out thinking that they will attain at least financial comfort, if not actual wealth, for disobeying God and making agreements with people who they should have been driving out ahead of them. I want to mention that the people who were in the promised land, when the Hebrew people got there, the Hebrew people were impressed with how much taller and bigger and stronger looking they were. They were impressed with that. In fact, some of the spies who went to spy out the land came back and had a report that said, we can't possibly take on those people in battle. They are so much bigger and stronger than we are, and they may have had greater or more developed weapons. And the spy report was, we can't take that land. We can't do it because of the strength and the height of these people. We were gnats in our own eyes, they said. And they greatly angered the Lord because God had already given them that blessing. That was theirs. And these spies were talking in such a way that put fear in the hearts of the Hebrew children, and they were afraid to go in and do combat with these people who were on their land. If God is giving you a blessing, and you know it, your inalienable rights, including the right to free speech, the right to freedom of press, the right to freedom of religion, the right to peaceful assembly. If God is giving you rights and there are people who appear to be stronger than you, bigger than you, better equipped militarily than you, and they're standing on your rights so that you can't use your rights, your inalienable rights that God gave you, then you are to fight for your rights. You are to fight tooth and nail and recognize that when you do what God told you to do, go in and take the land because I already gave it to you. When you stand up and fight for your rights, then you are not fighting alone, and neither are you fighting in your own strength. You're not relying on your weaponry. You're not relying on your military might or even your intelligence. You are relying on God if it's a just and godly battle, if it's a battle for something that God gave you. God gave us all human rights. Those are ours. The opponent wants to take your human rights from you, then they're the offender, not you. They're the offender. And you are to do what God said to in James 4, verse 7. He said, resist Satan, resist the devil, resist the opponent. Will flee from you. Resist the devil. And the devil, of course, in this case could be a person, because people can be used by Satan or they can be used by God. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers on high. In high places, yes, sometimes the person who seems to be your opponent may be acting on behalf of a person who is much higher level than that person who you're actually facing. A soldier is so when you have an issue with a soldier, or that soldier is only representative of a country. The soldier is just a person like you are, but that person is representative of the power and might and military ability of a country. So, that's what we all are to be, soldiers. Whether you're a soldier for right or whether you're a soldier for wrong is up to each individual to determine. It's up to each individual. And nobody should be involved in taking away other people's human rights. They certainly include the right to life, the right to liberty, and the right to pursue happiness. Everybody, not just Americans, everybody has those rights. The rights to life, liberty, and to pursue happiness. Those are inalienable rights. You know, and God says that thou shalt not kill. But right here in this country, we have probably thousands, I'm not sure, of people on death row. And usually they're there because they kill someone. But yet, does their sin excuse the sin of the system to execute them? I say not. And I don't say that because I'm just guessing. I say it because in Psalm 102, verses 19 and 20, it says that God sits high and looks low. He hears the groaning of the prisoner, and he's sitting there listening so that he can loose those appointed to death. So therefore, everything you say about what needs to be done in your personal situation or in your country's situation or in your city or state situation, we have the Bible that we can make sure that what we're saying lines up with the Word of God. And it is so easy to do that now, easier than ever before. I just looked up the verses that I went over with you on a site here that's called Bible Hub. Bible Hub. And I just put in there that I was looking for the story about the Hebrew children. and exiting Egypt and the things they went through. And then Bible Hub has that, those verses I was looking for, chapter and verse, and it has it in different texts. We have it in King James Version, you know, NIV Version, and others. So I could have read that to you in a different version had I wanted to, because it's all right there laid out in front of me. So we have the capability through the internet, if you use the internet, to study the Bible and show yourself approved. Also, of course, there's nothing wrong with picking up a Bible book and reading it. Once you read the Bible a time or two, then it will even make it easier for you to find the verses that you're looking for, because you know they're there. And if you just remember a couple of key words in those verses and you put it online in something like, all of these are like concordances, you will be able to find the actual verses. We must study the Bible, because God is not someone who just made you and made me. Or let's back it up all the way to Adam and Eve, made that couple, and he was through with it. No, no, no. He wants to be an active part of our lives. He wants to be actually the center of our lives. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, and put no other God before him. And he also said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And that is the whole law. The law is love. Love ye one another as I have loved you, Jesus said. And so, understand that you are to love yourself, because you're to love your neighbor as yourself. But you must love yourself. You know, don't get suicidal because things are not going well. Love yourself. And we talked about forgiveness at the head of this program, but many people are holding grudges against themselves. Yes, things they've done wrong, mistakes they've made, they've not forgiven themselves. And so, that anger builds up, that frustration builds up. Forgive yourself. Why would you love someone else more than you love you? You've made mistakes, we all have. Forgive yourself. And I think forgiveness should start there. Forgive yourself, and then ask God to forgive you for whatever it is that you know displeased him. And you know what pleases God and what does not. But the Bible says that even a fool or a little child knows whether his works are good or bad. Even a fool. A fool, instead of using that word, we might say a retarded person. Even a person who's retarded, has learning disabilities and what have you, they know whether what they're doing is good or bad. Now, the issue with mentally ill people is that sometimes they know what they're doing is bad, but they don't have the wherewithal to stop. They don't. It's also people who have drug and alcohol addictions may know that it's wrong for them to afflict their bodies and to violate the temple. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But they don't have their wherewithal to stop. So, mentally ill people and including some drug and alcohol addicts, should not be held responsible to the same level as people who are of sound mind and who are in control of how they think and how they react to certain stimuli. We should make room to forgive people who have health problems, mental health problems, you know, and certain addictions. We should look at them as people who need help and not people who need punishment. But getting back to your rights, we all have certain rights. We all have human rights. And the human rights that we have follow pretty closely with the rights that we were taught that we have under the U.S. Constitution. You know, those rights are also laid out in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that all people have. But again, governments don't necessarily adhere to the law themselves, and they don't necessarily appreciate your holding on to your rights. They don't necessarily want to even give you your rights or protect your rights. So does that mean that you give them up? Well, let's just quickly think about a man in the Bible who wanted something immediately, and he had to give up something to get that. And this man's name was Esau. He was hungry, and his brother had just made some delicious soup. His brother Joseph, I believe, had just made some delicious soup, and Esau wanted it. He was the firstborn son, and he asked his brother for soup, and his brother said, well, what will you give me for it? And you know, a bowl of soup may not sound like much, but when you are really hungry and you feel a very strong need to eat, not just a desire, but a need, then a bowl of soup could be very tempting to a hungry man. And Esau wanted something to eat, and he wanted it pretty quickly. And his brother asked, what will you give me for this bowl of soup? And Esau said, I'll give you my birthright. You know, I'm the firstborn. I get blessed with whatever my father has. But I will give you the position of being the firstborn. When father dies, which may be way down the road, if you just give me a bowl of soup today. So he made a deal and he sold his birthright. What did God think about that? The Bible says that Esau, God hated. So be careful what you trade off your rights for. Esau had a right to be the firstborn. He was the firstborn. He had a right to all the rights and privileges that that entailed, but he gave it up for immediate gratification. You know, you may give up your rights for the immediate gratification of feeling safe, or you might be afraid to stand up for your rights because you feel like it's more important to be secure, financially secure, physically secure. But whatever you give up your rights for, your God-given rights, I think that you run the risk of putting yourself in the position of Esau, who gave up his birthright because he felt it was more important to have some right now food than some future benefit of being the firstborn child that didn't really matter until his father would die. He gave it up, and God hated Esau. So when we as Americans give up our rights for security, they say, where does it end? There are more and more infringements all the time. And then we call on God. But we were participants in giving up our rights. We participated in that. And that was wrong. And what do? When you have done wrong, you acknowledge it and you ask God to forgive you. If you've done wrong and it impacts others, you ask those people to forgive you. If you costed anybody anything, if your mistakes cost anybody anything, then you try to make restitution. Unless you are too poor to make restitution, in which case, that person should forgive the debt. And then, you know, you're clean because you asked for forgiveness, you repented. And you pick up your rights again. You start back demanding your rights. You know, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Stand up for your rights. Demand that you will not give up your inalienable rights. And God bless you for joining us tonight on the Mary Loves Justice prayer meeting. I'm so glad you came. I ask you to come back every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.